McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
What it do, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of I Hate the Homies podcast, and we glad that you do. Rock Teezy is who I be.
It's your boy Griff, a.k.a. Griffstradamus, a.k.a. Jason the Jet Terry, a.k.a. the biggest Michigan fan you ever met, and I hate the homies. Episode 88, super duper easy, Michael Irvin.
Thank you.
I got you.
Drew Pearson?
Andrew the original? Pearson.
I mean, Lynn Swan?
Well, I see, but I was going to be simple. Mike Irvin.
Okay,
that's one right. Everybody can agree. You start saying Drew Pearson, you got other people out of Texas. Let me throw that in. Other people out of Texas going, who?
I don't know, dog. I don't know about that one. But go ahead, Super Dave.
And it's your boy, Super Dave. And you could have put Dez Bryant in there, too.
If you put Dez, you got to put CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, I would have rather put Drew over Dez Bryant. Yeah,
earn some stripes.
But guess what, right. Y'all? We don't care.
We don't.
But we do care about maybe the NBA All Star Weekend. I mean,
maybe
that game is
strong, dog. maybe with 90 question marks after it, dog. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
We'll get into it, man. It was bananas. Your former president, Donald Trump, got a new sneaker out.
It's the ugliest shoe ever, dog. But we're all, it looked like it should have been in a Wizard of Oz, dog.
LeBron James is mapping out the way he's going to end his career. We're going to listen to what he had to say and put our thoughts on it. And DeMarcus Lawrence on why the Cowboys lost to the Green Bay Packers. Like he's speaking out. Like he's going to come straight real with him. Just a couple things that we're going to discuss this week on the episode of I Hate the Homies podcast, which starts right now.
You done messed up, A-A-Ron.
Yeah, huh? I've been geeking for this broadcast. Got me in my bag because all they do is talk a lot of trash. Wait until I see them face to face off of this podcast. What you got to say now? Check the facts. Don't have a wrong stat. Oh. Rock T, he a genius as a sport. Make Ricky smile, boy. Super Davey Holly come up short on like it's Cowboys. Always controversial. Griff call out plays. No rehearsal. Got me talking all in circles. Ah, I hate the homies. And Griff be laughing like it's funny. But they never bet no money. They my mans, but they throw me. Ah, I hate the homies.
All right, man, let's get it popping. Let's go straight into NBA All-Star Weekend. It ain't no secret. Like, we all know it's one of the biggest parties of the year when it comes to sports and athletics.
And say what it is.
I was there, so let me start it before the pre. I was there on Thursday. Right. I hosted the Legends of Gospel, Fred Hammond. It was supposed to be Marvin Sapp, but he got into some weather. But it was Fred Hammond, Bishop Hezekiah Walker, Donnie McClurkin, Anthony Brown, and local indie dude, Demetrius West. But the best part about that night is I had the privilege of honoring Oscar Robertson. For the people who don't know about Oscar Robertson, the Big O, I mean, you two, of course.
The Big O.
He's originally from Indianapolis. In 1955, he went to Crispus Attucks High School. It was the first all black school to win the state championship. Indiana's a big deal for basketball because Dr. Naismith is from there, and you know what I'm saying? But then think about the time, 55, and the whitest state ever, and they won a championship. And then 56, they won it again, except they went undefeated. He went on to become a great Cincinnati Bearcat. He played in Milwaukee with Kareem. He was the first human being to get a triple-double for the season, a 12-time All-Star. And it was just, he's 85 years old, dog. And when I tell you, he can tell you play by play what happened in 1956 and 1955 with both them games is actually pretty, it's uncanny. Like, I don't remember the last Wednesday, kind of. And this dude is saying, I remember John was on the point. with 7 minutes and 11 seconds. So Oscar Robertson, man, was a big deal. Big, big, big deal.
That's a beautiful thing, man. It's awesome when you get a chance to share those moments with them legends like that. You know man, what I'm saying?
Man.
Yes, indeed. So
now let's talk about this crappy, which part do you want to, do it? You want to go start with
obvious. Let's start with the obvious. Like okay. 211 and 186 was the final score.
Were they playing NBA 2K? Were they playing?
I get it.
I mean, come on,
I get it.
211, dog.
It's the NBA All-Star game. I remember back in the day.
And your day is when Jordan and Magic and Isaiah Thomas and all exactly. Them. Exactly. David Robinson.
They was playing.
It was not a game, dog. The final score was always 109 to 108.
Come on, man. Man, these guys up and down the court. And Adam Silver, the commissioner, is actually not happy. He's actually a little bothered. And he has every right to be.
He should be.
This should not be. It's kind of what happened to the Pro Bowl in football. The players, they're like, okay, well, I don't want to get hurt. So I'm just going to go ahead and cruise. And by the way, all the fans, they just want to see the high-flying dunks and the long-range three-pointers anyways. But we still want to see defense. We want to see a competitive game because you got the best of the East and the best of the West.
And they're not playing each other at all. They playing like a bunch of cousins.
Come on, man. This is ridiculous, man. And I think Adam Silver should put his foot down and start fining players. Like, if you're going to accept the invitation
right.
of being a part of the NBA All-Star game, then you
which
also,
is for the fans, by the way. Like,
play ball.
And here you go. The slam dunk and all that was inside the place where the Colts play. So it sold out 65,000 people. And you got – well, let's go to the 208 to 190-something game.
We'll get to the slam dunk.
Yeah, it was – hard to watch.
No, say what it is. It's an embarrassment.
It was lame, dog. It was lame. I don't think it'll be a day with what you just saying with Jordan and Isaiah and Dennis Rodman and all these people that literally hated each other, but halfway during the season, they came together to play on the same team. A lot of them later went on to play with each other in the Olympics. It wasn't competitive, you know, to me. Okay, let me make sure I say this right. To me, WNBA games is a gang of layups, right? Well, over this game over the weekend was a gang of slam dunks and half-court shooting. Like, that is not what – nobody put their hand up. So one time, Rock, I was counting the dunks on both sides, right, just to see – who put their hands up at least when you came down? People was look. So I don't know. I'm not a fan, but I guess that's I don't know, Dave.
That's why I don't waste my time watching it because I don't think we've seen a NBA All-Star game that meant anything. We keep going back to Jordan and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, but when Kobe played,
I was about to say Kobe got the same.
Kobe like, has you know, that mentality, the dog yeah. mentality. He wants to compete against the best. And some of these guys you see now, that's the sad part about the NBA now. Who's going to take over? Because you want to see guys that are going to be dogs that don't care about the other guy. I want to be a champion. I want to cut. When you look at Jordan, when you look at Kobe, those guys wanted to cut their throat, show it to you, let you bleed.
I think Jimmy Butler is like that. I think Jimmy got a little soul from the old –
He's that old school type of guy, but
yeah.
We're talking about a guy. We're talking about people that's going to be in the All-Star game almost every single year. To me,
Giannis, Damon,
LeBron,
Joel Embiid wasn't even there. LeBron been there 20 times. Shout out to being the first human being that got 20 in a row. I don't think. I mean, hell, look at now they take days off.
It's almost to the point where you got to take away the game and just do the slam dunk, three-point shootout, the skills challenge.
No.
It's going to happen. I'm telling you, the same way they took away
the
Pro Bowl.
Play, I'd rather – okay, and I understand what you're saying. But the way that score was, the way it was no defense, the way nobody put their hands up, I'd rather watch five WNBA players who want that smoke like that girl did against Dame. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now you can't just be easy on her, because them girls, that girl almost beat Damian Lillard, man. she really did.
This is the one player I thought that had a chance to be, and you look at him, and he has that dog in him, and that's Anthony Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
But he also played in his first All-Star game this season,
right?
This year. Me, if he's your next generation of player, he shouldn't have been setting an example out there. Kobe didn't wait for anybody else to set an example.
It's a little overwhelming, dog. Kobe was the man when he first came in. Anthony Edwards is like, geez, all my heroes.
But you also want to compete against the best. These are guys, some of the guys I know you play these guys all the time, but you get to see them on one stage and show what you got.
Right. The HBCU game was better than the All-Star game.
Come on, man. Adam Silver's going to have to put some stipulations on this All-Star game. And even if a player decides, hey, I don't want to play in it, thank you for voting me in, and I'm glad, I'm appreciative, but I don't want to play because I don't want to get hurt. There's got to be some kind of fine or something associated with it, because it's part of the game. You don't get to go, dog.
Yeah,
but Griff, I don't think they care. I don't think they care about missing the festivities of going. They look at it as a hassle, really.
This episode of I Hate the Homies is brought to you by McDonald's. You know how you can smell when your food's about to be good, good? That's me every time I pull out the Mickey D's drive-thru with a McCrispy sandwich. I mean, we're talking about two buttered buns stacked with pickles and crispy, juicy, tender chicken. Come on, man. And when that crispy chicken and the crispy pickle come together between two buttered buns, yeah, all is good. And the funny thing is that I don't think I've ever made it home from the drive-thru without taking a bite of that freshly prepared McCrispy sandwich, because once I smell it, I gotta have it right there in the car. I guess the word is out on that. So go get yours today.
They were all complaining about being in Indiana because there's nothing to do.
Let me tell you something. But what was cool when you got off the plane and walked towards baggage claim, NBA All-Star had the whole area set up like a basketball court. And it was awesome to come in on Thursday. So on Thursday, the moms and the family members was on the earlier flights, and then late Thursday, all the strippers came in. But anyway, let me talk about the airport. At the airport, it was a bunch of kids and adults with basketballs and stuff and autograph pens waiting for the players to come off. So Indiana's a weird city because they're known for the Colts and they're known for the Pacers, Indianapolis 500. But then they got big college basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like, Indiana's weird. It's like super duper Central America, in the middle of America. But I was staying by the airport, which is about 30 minutes. The traffic was crazy. It was a lot. I left Friday, first flight, dog. As soon as I got off air, I was to the airport, dog. Then it snowed. I just beat the snow. So now it's cold. Who want to go somewhere where it's cold? Like, why would I leave Miami?
But I'm saying some of these guys they're making a whole bunch of money already in the NBA. Some of these guys, they want the recognition of being an all-star, but they don't want to really have the hassle of going to the game. Some of their teammates are doing what? On vacation?
They're
being hassled on being in certain areas, certain times, at certain events, and being in a game they really don't want to be at. I mean,
hey, Rob, I like that Halliburton dude from the Pacers.
Money-wise, because they're already making a whole bunch of money. And if you put up $5 million for the MVP of this All-Star game, but you're going to have guys now hogging the ball.
Okay, give some money to the defensive player the game. How about that? You got $5 million. You know what I'm saying? So
it got to be something. Money shouldn't be the draw. But I'm with both of you. I'm with both of you. It definitely is going to have to change. It was hard to look at. I had other shows. I had this show. I'm watching Night Country on HBO. I got some. By the time I looked at the game with 7 minutes left, it was still 180. 170 to 148 or something. I was like, these boys is just
And then,
shooting.
And the slam dunk contest didn't get much better.
Got it.
But we've seen this go to on a decline the last 15, 20 years.
But this was the art. Now, no, not taken away from Matt McClung.
Right.
The youngin' from the G League.
Ooh, again, say it again. From where?
From the G League.
So you got a G League winning back to back. But titles,
right?
Perennial.
All these superstars in the NBA.
Perennial back to back. So, and then, but here's what's cool about Matt McClung. He was the MVP of the league, and his team won the championship. So he, but even I was listening to Kenny Smith. So cold. He said it so raw. He's like, man, they need to let him play real basketball. Somebody need to bring him up and let him play on a real team. And I was waiting for one of the commentators to say, but he playing on a real team, and everybody was like, yeah, you right, Kenny.
Yep.
You
do right.
But he averaged like 23, 24 a game. He not good for 12 points.
No, he
on somebody's roster, at least on Orlando. He playing in the minor league of Orlando.
And guess what? The fans want to see him.
I like him. I liked him last year.
But Rock, we wouldn't be talking about this guy if your superstars, if the guys that really play NBA basketball and do all incredible dunks during games, if they actually played in the slam dunk contest.
I like to see Ja. I know Ja is hurt.
But he's hurt. He's hurt.
Yeah.
But I like Zion Williamson. Zion
didn't, you know.
I mean, even LeBron. I mean, come on, man. Look,
I'm still watching LeBron.
What is this?
You can't get these guys. I don't know what's going on in their head and the reasons why they don't want to do it. Maybe because, hey,
yes, you do, Rock.
I'm LeBron, but I don't want to get beat. I don't want to get beat. But that's part of the competition.
They're trying to protect their brand.
I was not a fan of Duke, Dominique
Wilkins and Spud Webb back in the day. You know what I'm saying?
Gary Payton and them was a.
Come on, man.
I hope, and Oscar Robertson had a chance to talk to Butler, the Butler's men's basketball team, because the concert that I was hosting was on Butler University. Well, Greg Ogden, remember him? Greg Ogden from Ohio State?
Old guy.
He was old when he was young, and then he was a whole bum in the NBA. Well, he's close to being a coach's assistant. So he was with the team and he was asking questions, you know, what could you tell these guys right now? And he said, man, go, if you have a game, play it. What these kids, he said, now they take these days off and we loved basketball. Why would we, if I got a job and not counting my PTO or my off days, why am I taking days off? Like, that's the bottom line. To me, when Oscar Robertson said that, I was like, he need to be on somebody's podcast.
Yeah, why are you taking days off and why you not? I told you guys, it started with LeBron James. It started back in 2000 when he declined not to be in a slam dunk contest. If he would have been a part of either one or two of them, I think other guys, because they're looking at him. He's a superstar turning that down, right?
Well, Matt McClung is not a superstar. And I don't even know what channel the G League play on, dog. I ain't even going to lie, dog. I think Atlanta got a team in College Park. I don't even know, dog. but what I do know is I thought the slam dunk contest was garbage. I will say Damon Lillard is a shooter, dog. That dude don't even get off the ground,
that's
dog.
That's probably the best part of NBA All-Star Weekend is probably them shooting.
I liked it. But Damon against that girl. That girl was a problem, dog. I said, remember, she shot from the end. So this is what I love about her. She basically a whole history moment by herself.
Right.
She shot from the NBA's three. Which I believe, Rock, is it 6 feet, 7 feet back more a little bit?
No, it's not that far back.
It's a big difference. And she could have did it from hers, but she was like, let me do it from there.
Right.
And she was busting them things.
26. Hey, Steph had to be on his game to get him.
But you saw how Steph just got hotter and hotter. He made his last 10, dog.
So, like, I got this. This is what I do. But no, that's good for the women's game, man. Y'all know I get excited about women's basketball because my daughter. Yeah. But Sabrina, she the truth. They got the right one from the WNBA.
I watched her. I didn't know. And I saw her highlights before. But I didn't. I mean, she to me, Caitlin Clark want to be her when she grow up.
Yeah, or Taurasi. The great.
I thought the Steph Curry Sabrina match was probably the best thing of NBA All-Star Weekend. Plus the 3-point shootout. But that skills competition, they need to kill that too.
Because the best thing about the skills competition was the court. They was playing on the LED digital.
And I hate that court. I hate the court.
It was making my eyes. I think I'm one of them people, you know, in movies and video games, they say it's going to be a lot of lights if you one of them people that I'm one of them people, I think, dog. It was too much going fire. And then I was like, I'm cool. What was the HBCU game was good to me.
No, you just heeded to a prediction that I was going to make. You mentioned Caitlin Clark. Don't be surprised if she's part of the festivities next year. Don't be surprised if she's in the 3-point shootout versus Steph next year.
And Sabrina. It could be Sabrina and one more player. I think it
should have been like, and then maybe not against Dame and Steph, but maybe against Ja, you know, some young cats. So, because let me tell you something, Dame Lillard and Steph release is not fair, dog. Oh, it's not fair. The dude was making all his starry shots. Like
that's the last call, like, being in a gym. That's called being in a gym.
Sabrina
scored 26, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Dame won the 3-point shootout with what? 26.
26.
Yeah.
26. She could have played. She could have been going against the guy.
I want to see the girls. Why not?
That's one area.
HBCU. This was a good test. I know it was a test, and then they'll see. But all I'm saying is this. Ain't nothing else happening. Stupid game. You might as well bring something. You sell some WNBA merchandise, the Indiana Fever. They a girl team that's good now. Like, you might as well bring them in. I like the girl all-stars. I'm a fan.
Yeah, I mean, for what it's worth, the WNBA, they do have their own all-star as well. All-star game. And
weekend. What's it on a Wednesday? I'm sorry, WNBA people that's listening.
But you're right. This helps promote their game, bringing in them part of the men's situation, man. So it is what it is, man. Year
on the 29th.
Y'all gotta fix that defense in the All-Star game or cancel it. Just don't even play that bad.
Yeah, I wasn't outside of the gospel concert and meeting Oscar Robertson, dog. I was like, yeah, I want to go home. I'm cool. And they were saying, Griff, we got tickets to go to. I'm cool, dog. Like, I'm cool.
I don't think we solved anything, but it's not our job to solve Adam Silver's problems, because it is a major problem.
Yeah, he got a problem.
I'm going to tell you what a major problem is these doggone Donald Trump sneakers that just came out. He done sold 1,000 of them bad pre-orders already, but we trying to figure out how many of us bought them bad boys, because, you know, we like some sneakers.
A black person wearing some. Well, hold on. We'll talk about that.
Yeah, we're going to get into it.
This episode of I Hate the Homies is brought to you by McDonald's. You know how you can smell when your food's about to be good? That's me every time I pull out the Mickey D's drive-thru with a McCrispy sandwich. I mean, we're talking about two buttered buns stacked with pickles and crispy, juicy, tender chicken. Come on, man. And when that crispy chicken and the crispy pickle come together between two buttered buns, yeah, all is good. And the funny thing is that I don't think I've ever made it home from the drive-thru without taking a bite of that freshly prepared McCrispy sandwich, because once I smell it, I gotta have it right there in the car. I guess the word is out on that. So go get yours today.
Come on, Griff. Admit it, dog. You know you bought some of them Trump sneaks.
All they had was 14s. I got 3 pair. Hold on. Here go the funny part. They ain't had no other colors. They just gold. They look like, you know, them people that be, they paint themselves all gold and silver and then they stand still.
Yeah. Like in Vegas.
You know what I'm saying? In Vegas, in Chicago, and they just don't. They act like statues. It looks like they're out of shoes, dog. That's all I could see when I saw them, dog. They're the ugliest. They can't be comfortable, dog. But
how much are they? $400.
$400.
Yeah. But they was buying them at the sneaker comp thing and then selling them online for $2,300.
And then it's got the small print. Like, there's no guarantee that you're going to receive these shoes. So
no, dog.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee. No guarantee of delivery date and no guarantee that you're going to actually receive the shoes. Like, ain't nobody read the fine print here.
That sound like a hustle to me, Donald.
It is a hustle.
Hold on. Donald already trying to, he already working on small scams, dog.
He's already, hey, I didn't lie to the people. I didn't lie to the people.
He can't do business in New York anymore, so he's got to find a way to make some money.
Let me make sure I'm hearing this right, Rock. It's fine print to say, We don't know when it's going to be delivered, when it's going to be shipped, or when you will receive after you pay for them.
According to the reports, yes.
So he was just, the ones that was at SneakerCon was just the show ones.
I don't know what's going on, dog.
Wow.
I have no idea what's going on.
When I think of Donald Trump shoes, I think of sandals with fur on them. They should have his little toupee. Like, I will buy them. I will buy some Donald Trump sandals with a toupee on the top of them, dog. That move.
The tongue is a toupee.
Hey, Griff. Hey, y'all. This is what it says. It says they may be delivered sometime late summer.
Whoa.
Hold on. Or it may not be delivered at all.
It might not be delivered at all.
And there is no refunds on the pre-order. So you pay that $400.
Okay. He ain't. Nobody black. Yeah, nobody black. I'm going to need my shoes. I'm going to need my shoes in 2 weeks. I'm going to give you 2 weeks.
I'm not a fan of paying
for stuff and not getting it till later, dog. Except like Amazon, little Amazon stuff. But like, I don't want to buy a baby. I don't want you to make me pay for a baby grand piano and then tell me we're going to make sure we get that to you, sir. Run that on a...
I tell you one thing, though. Let's just say these sneakers are real and these orders are real and the people that order them, they actually receive a pair of sneakers. Can you imagine how much them bad boys are going to be worth if you try to resell them bad boys at an auction?
Yeah, you definitely can't put them on. You got to say you had them, especially if you get impeached or go to jail. Them things are going to go. That's like them Air Nixons.
Yeah, dog. Can't
he get in trouble for the shoe looking? It looked just like an old pair of Nikes.
Like an old pair that they sprayed with gold paint.
Yeah,
and sprayed the jeans and the jacket and the face,
and they put a T. Which looked like, I think somebody said a Ricky Smiley Morning Show, the T looked like a Tommy Hilfiger T.
Yep. It's the worst shoe. I think if you put them shoes on, dog, you're going to be racist. Like, as soon as you put them on, you're going to be like, what's up, Blackie?
But you know what?
Hey.
I got a game room. I may not wear them, but I may order them just to put them in a case, just in case. Just in case they
So you support the Trump campaign.
I don't support it.
If you buy the sneakers, that's what the funds are for. You support the Trump campaign.
If you buy them shoes, you support foolishness, because if somebody tell me I don't know when it's coming in, maybe it don't, late summer or never, I don't like my odds.
I understand what you're saying, Griff, but I also look at it like this. He's doing a hustle. I'm going to do a hustle. If I can get those shoes and they do get delivered to me,
oh, you could sell them to a nice racist person.
Okay,
I see you. Okay. I see you. I see you, man.
At least we know who Super Dave voted for when Trump ran for president.
McDonald's is not new to chicken. So maybe stop questioning their chicken cred and get your hands on the McCrispy. Juicy fried chicken, buttery bun, unmatched pickle to chicken ratio. Yeah, they know what they're doing. In fact, we can honestly say they're not new to chicken. They're true to chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Oh, Super Dave, I wanted to ask you, dog. I don't know, and this is because I'm done talking about Trump and his shoes. Yeah. Did you watch the Biggest Night in Pop on Netflix?
Oh, you're talking about We Are the World?
Yes.
We Are the World, man.
That was dope.
I just watched it. I love Sheila. So if you haven't watched it, ladies and gentlemen, it was the making of We Are the World, and I didn't know it was the... I remember that American Music Award because of Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie saying, this is outrageous. Remember how many times he said that? And then Sheila E. was on there, Huey Lewis. It was like, that was the 84, 85 American Music Awards was the best music.
One of the greatest
ever,
of all
dog.
Time.
Dog. Oh my God.
Cyndi Lauper. Like, that. Come on, man.
Real, save that. I want to go through that whole show, talk about that show. On our podcast.
Oh, we'll just do okay. it on the podcast. Okay, good.
It's been on the rundown in the last couple of weeks. I saw it. And I thought it was great.
There's a lot of gems in there. The way Waylon Jennings dipped. Stevie Wonder tried to make a Swahili verse. People said, I'm good.
Yeah, because they were just save all that because they was trying to get Stevie on the phone to help write the song, and he ghosted him. Then he show up out of nowhere, like, yo, what up, man?
What's going on? They was like, everything, Stevie.
He's like,
everything.
The song is already written, dude.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. So you saw it too, Rock?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Man, let's
you want to get into it right now?
We can talk about it. Okay,
let's talk about it, man.
So set it up, Griff. Go ahead.
Okay, so on Netflix, there is a documentary of the making of the song We Are the World that came out in 1985. It goes through, it's kind of narrated by Lionel Richie, and Lionel Richie and Bob Geldof, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
They had just did the previous one. What was the other song, the Africa? Oh, feed the world, let them know. And that had U2 and Bono and all them in it.
Right,
but
right.
The same dude was like, we could do another one. Well, Lionel Richie said, let's do one. And they just brought in everybody. So it was directly after the American Music Awards. So it's already late. Y'all know that show is over at 8, 9 o'clock in California time.
They said, cut, that's a wrap, the show is over, and all those artists went to the studio to record this song.
To the studio.
We'll go start off by it was Michael Jackson. He went to Michael Jackson.
Him and Michael Jackson didn't work on it for 3 weeks because Lionel had to host the American Music Awards. Right. So that was kind of, he said, Michael Jackson gave him a couple dozen tapes of him humming. Because Mike ain't play no music, so he was like, of tapes, and they was like, we'll figure it out.
Mike went in the studio by himself and just put the and sang the hook. He came up with the hook and said, here's what the hook's gonna sound like, and then we'll go from there.
But it was a lot of genius.
When Michael and Lionel Richie got together at Michael's place, a couple of times. The first time,
he tried to make him hold the monkey. He tried to make him hold bubbles, and he was like, I don't want to hold bubbles. The second time a damn snake came out of nowhere, he said, he was writing, and all I hear is, and he said, Michael Jackson called him Lionel. He said, oh, there he is, Lionel, my snake. He was like, you're a snake. He was like, he came out when he heard the words because the words are so beautiful and he wants you to hold them. He was like, I'm dead. I saw this movie.
But you know what was so dope about the whole, like, every time they show Michael, it was cool to see Michael as a regular person. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Just a regular old dude. Like, and he's in these conversations. They talking about how the song should be, how she written. They just had, because we always used to seeing Michael on stage,
But he was still wearing what he had on at the American Music Awards.
Right.
It was like an after party. You could tell who was at the awards show and then who came in. Because Diana Ross wasn't there and Ray Charles wasn't there. But you could tell Cyndi Lauper had won a bunch that night. Lionel Richie won the most. Huey Lewis won some. You know what this is what I wanted to tell y'all. I was watching it today. And I realized that we didn't know because we was kids. but they had a best black song and a best black album. So they always, it was always Prince, Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Best black song? Yeah. What?
And speaking of Prince, this is a cool part because Sheila E., as you mentioned earlier.
He was mad.
Prince and Sheila E. was kind of, you know, they dated a little bit.
But she was on the tour,
Prince discovered her, all that good stuff. Yeah. So she was coming up. She just dropped her new songs and all that. I think it was After Crush Groove and Glamorous Life and all that. So Sheila E. is starting to make a name for herself. But they wanted Prince. And Prince was, you know, they was using Sheila E. to get, hey, is Prince coming? Like, is Prince coming? And she's like, yeah, I talked to him. He's coming. He'll be here, whatever. But he never showed up. And then
she knew he wasn't coming because it was too many people. Prince told Lionel, because Lionel talked to him. Prince said, I'll come. I just want to do a guitar solo in a different room. And Lionel was like, but we all in the same room. And that's when he was like, let me call you back, Lionel.
Right. So Sheila like getting mad because, look, I can sing too. And if Prince don't come, I sing his part, whatever. But they never gave her a shot to sing a solo. And it was just one line.
But they have her in the credits as being there. Now, my favorite story that I didn't know, when Waylon Jennings, when Stevie Wonder said, I think we should, you know, sing it in culture or sing, you know, put some African or something.
They tried to get Stevie Wonder for weeks. He never would call
back.
And
then he tried to come in telling people what to do.
Right.
Let me tell you something. First of all, And then they said, Ray Charles said, I got to go to the bathroom. And then Stevie took him to the bathroom. And they said they all laughed because they was like, the blind is really leading the blind.
Yeah.
Dog, when Waylon Jennings said, I'm a good old boy. I'm not singing nothing. And left. And they was like, that was the first person we lost. Waylon Jennings was out, dog.
But you know who was ruthless and who I love? Cyndi Lauper. Like, she came in there like, what? Like, I always liked her music or whatever, but she had so much that rock soul type sound.
Yeah, because remember, Madonna was at her biggest, and Cyndi Lauper was this other girl who people like too, but was kind of wearing the same stuff as Madonna as far as the lace and the gloves and the fluorescent, remember the fluorescent bands and veils and stuff like that. But she was, I'm with you. She was very hard. Like, remember Madonna's whole thing, like a virgin. And here goes Cyndi Lauper with the color hair. And I think of that AMA award show, and I think of Pat Benatar with Love is the Battlefield. Remember, MTV in 1985 was social media.
Come on, dog.
Yeah. We waited. It was a game that me and my sister played at the top of the hour, every hour on MTV. They would say what artist was coming up that hour.
Right.
And it was normally Bruce Springsteen, Run DMC, Michael Jackson, or something. So we would play this game and guess what three. Like, you could always get one because it would definitely be Michael Jackson or something. But if you could get all three,
Bruce
Springsteen, Michael Jackson, and Duran Duran.
Speaking of Bruce Springsteen, as we watched them put this song together, and as each artist came in and did their line,
and that's intimidating too. That's intimidating.
Oh, it was like, how are we gonna come behind that when Bruce went? Oh man, it was like, yo, it was, you might as well rap it right there, because he had that sound. Him and Michael Jackson had sounds that nobody else was even close to. That real raspy, like,
Remember, Bruce was on tour, so he was like, I'm just coming out because Quincy.
Yeah,
and the way Quincy Jones, he wrote this sign that said, check your ego at the door. And a narrator, one of the guys at the sound man or light man, he was like, it was really weird because when you're all these stars, when they with their agents and assistants, and you know, then you gotta be in front of them. But when you got Diana Ross, Lionel Richie, Michael Jackson, Bruce Springsteen, Cyndi Lauper, Bob Dylan.
Just, that was an interesting part too.
Yeah.
Because he was real shy. A lot of people didn't know he was real shy.
I think the most impressive thing, if you go back to the very beginning of it, they tried to keep it a secret. Mm-hmm. They didn't want anybody else to know about it, the media, fans, or anything like that.
But so he was telling everybody in backstage.
You
got to come to the thing.
This is way before that, when they had to get the music to the artist. How did they get the music to the artist? By federal express.
Yeah, man. So that's why. And it took how many total hours? They was there like until what, like 8, 9 the next morning?
Yeah.
Well, at 4 a.m., yeah. At 4 a.m., they finally was like, we hungry. So they all was eating Roscoe chicken and waffles. Everybody. Kenny Rogers. Man, 1985 with music. No kid that's 13 would understand how big that was, man. All them... And also remember, it wasn't R&B stations and pop stations and rock stations. It was just radio.
Radio.
So I'm
curious why they haven't done a reboot of We Are the World with some of the artists they did. Nowadays.
They did, because Mary Mary was in it. They did one about 10 years ago.
Yeah, but was it We Are the World? I'm talking about do another We Are the World.
No, they did We Are the World. They did another.
They did? I missed that.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people. It's because Erica had me cracking up. It was the Pussycat Dolls and Mary Mary. And it was about Reba McEntire. And yeah, they redid it.
Why'd you say that first one first, dog?
Yeah, say it again.
Why you say it so hard?
Pussycat Dolls. Best name ever for a girl.
I'm telling you, that is one of my favorite. And back in 1985, I was playing that a lot, man. I mean,
Prince was at his. Come on, man. 1985, you had buttons on your jean jacket. It was, you was either a Prince fan or a Michael Jackson fan, and you could not be both. No. And you could not be both. It was a line that was drew in the sand, and you had to know who you was down. And that was Purple Rain had just came out this summer. Oh, yeah. Dog, let me tell you something. Today is
still one of the greatest movies of all time.
Purple Rain is amazing.
Thank you.
With even though the acting is not the best,
hey,
but the storyline, but here,
yes,
music, the soundtrack.
Come on, dog.
I heard the album so I already knew the songs going into the movie. I was young. I don't think I could have got into the movies by myself. But by the time I went to go see it, I knew all the songs because I had already been listening to the tape. Like I had the tape for a minute.
Yes, sir.
And that's who dominated that year at the American Music Awards was Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Michael Jackson wasn't at the award show. He was at the studio.
The studio.
Right.
He was at the studio getting ready for the song We Are the World.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken,
Lionel Richie won the most.
I'm saying Prince and Lionel Richie dominated that award show.
Because Prince ended the show with singing Purple Rain. He was wearing all that green.
That was the epic purple outfit. That was the poster. Then he had Wendy and Sheila and she did Glamour's Life in the middle of it, dog. Come on, man.
Look at him crying over there.
He is getting a little tender. Look at him. And look here. And I quote Super Dave for you. And that was the last time I was moist for a man.
Super Dave was the biggest man Prince fan.
And I hate he wasn't part of We Are the World. And now I know why.
Ain't that crazy? He didn't want to. He just wanted to go do his part and be gone. But Prince, I'm surprised that Michael Jackson even was there so long and everything. I mean, I know he wrote it, they was all kind of living like recluses. As far as what the media was telling us, Michael Jackson couldn't go. I love seeing Huey. I'm a big Huey Lewis in the news.
And that's the part. He took Prince's part, Huey Lewis.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And killed it.
And murdered.
He was nervous, too. Yeah. He was nervous. Like, oh.
Well, they all was in the best kind. Man, when you got Tina Turner, Willie Nelson, Daryl Hall, when Diana Ross, this was the best part for me. When Diana Ross walked over to Daryl Hall and said, I'm your biggest fan. Will you sign my sheet music? And everybody saw Diana do it. Then they was all switching papers. Will you sign mine? Will you sign? I'm sure that's in a bunch of people's house you know, opened up with as many layers as it has to be, because that, and then I read something right after, because now I was all watching it, and then 20 of the people that sang in, on that song are dead. 20.
What? Really?
With 20. The Pointer Sisters, Michael Jackson, Al Jarreau, your boy who wrote PYT, the R&B dude. Just so many people had passed who was part of that. Yeah.
And Al Jarreau, and now you brought up Al Jarreau, he was getting drunk.
They
trying to keep him.
Al Jarreau start. Y'all should have known when he starts singing a day-o.
Yeah. That was dope because old dude was trying. He was getting all
Harry Belafonte. It was getting tender. But I love how they was calling him the elder spokesman, and how Harry Belafonte and Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson and Quincy Jones and Bob Geldof said, "Let's do something," and they get, and the best part about it is they only had one night, because of, you know what I'm saying, that to me, that like now, right now, 2024, Dave would do his part in Texas, I would lay my part in Atlanta, Rock would close out the chorus where he at, you know what I'm saying? So now is too easy, but to watch them do that live, man, it was special. So we know this ain't sports related or nothing. But go do, if you are, make your kids sit and watch the biggest night of pop on
my
Netflix.
My kids would tell y'all that I make them listen to it as we're driving in my truck, and I do all the parts. I change my voice to do all from Dionne Warwick to Stevie Wonder.
Do Bob Dylan real fast. Do Bob Dylan real fast.
I got to remember his part. Hold on. See, I have to sing the whole song.
Sing it from the top then, Dave. Go ahead.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call.
Hold on a second, Dave. Hold on. Let me see if I can get you some music. Let me get you an instrumental. Ladies and gentlemen, this is live podcasting right here.
Oh, man.
Y'all are wrong for this.
Wait a minute. You see him get serious, Ron?
Yeah, he's serious. Rock, yeah, he's for real, for real.
We are the world instrumental. That's what I want. Yes. Okay. Wait a minute, is that the right one? That's a random. Oh, here goes Michael Jackson. We are the world. Yes. Yes, this is the one. Hold on 1 second, brother. Let me see. Roadcaster. Let's hook that up.
Oh, he's trying to hook up. He's trying to make me go live with this
one. Oh, yeah. I'm about to have you sound in stereo. We going to take this. Hold on. Let me see. Playing. Please play. Okay.
See, that's God telling you right there. That's God telling you.
No, God.
This shouldn't happen right now. He's saving me.
There you go.
All right, let's go, Super Dizzle.
That was a time when we heed a certain call.
Sing it, Lionel.
The world must come together as one.
Come on.
There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life. This is the greatest gift of all.
Here we go, Michael.
You can't go wrong.
Oh, that ain't Michael yet.
Pretending day by day. That's one. Somewhere for to make a change. We are a part of a great big family. And the truth.
Bring it home. Bring it home, Michael.
Here go Mike. Here go Mike.
We are the world.
We are all the children. Michael, help you a little bit.
We are the ones who make a brighter
day. Stop it, Grim. Stop it, Grim.
There's a choice we're making.
Man, go ahead, man.
And that don't, this is why you hate the homies this week. Because of that right there.
We are the world.
Oh, no, they got the children.
Thank y'all for listening and watching.
I hate the homies podcast. Rock Teasy's who I be. I'm up out of here, man.
Oh, God. I'm James Ingram. I'll never be good at Super Dave. Oh. And I hate the homies.
Oh. I'm Tina Turner. I'm Bob Dylan. I'm Stevie Wonder. I'm Sheila E. I'm the Pointer Sisters. I can go on and on, but guess what? We don't care.
We do. Deuces. There it is.
Come on, Jay.
Right here. She say, oh, send them your hearts. So they know that someone cares.
Man, if you don't get off my podcast,
that note,
you'll see his face. KC!
I'm out, KC. Please save him, dog.
KC!
KC really went left.
I hate the homies.
This episode of I Hate the Homies is brought to you by McDonald's. You know how you can smell when your food's about to be good, good? That's me every time I pull out the Mickey D's drive-thru with a McCrispy sandwich. I mean, we're talking about two buttered buns stacked with pickles and crispy, juicy, tender chicken. Come on, man. And when that crispy chicken and the crispy pickle come together between two buttered buns, yeah, all is good. And the funny thing is that I don't think I've ever made it home from the drive-thru without taking a bite of that freshly prepared McCrispy sandwich, because once I smell it, I gotta have it right there in the car. I guess the word is out on that. So go get yours today.